Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
Amen. You can be seated. God is so good to us. Amen, church. My name is Grant, one of the pastors here. Excited to be with you all here this morning and bring God's word. Pastor Luke will be back next week on Memorial Day weekend, so I invite you to come back next Sunday. How many of y'all watched the movie Hook this past weekend after his message? Anybody? That's right. You didn't have to. He did such a great job of reenacting it for us. You didn't have to. But excited for him to be back next Sunday. Today is going to look a little different. It's Senior Sunday. We're going to be talking a little bit about our graduates and celebrating them. But wanted to real quick talk about HCSM, Holland Chapel's student ministry. My ministry focus here is students. It's been an amazing year, and just wanted to share some highlights with you all of what all took place and how God is working in students, not just here at Holland Chapel, but all across Saline County, and it's truly awesome to see. It's been a blast watching your students pursue Jesus, watching them come together and make Christ the focus of their worship. We had 292 different students attend HCSM this past semester. We had 14 baptisms, 14 students come forward and say, hey, I'm ready to follow Jesus and take that step of following Jesus through baptism. We averaged over 50 volunteers each Wednesday night who came and showed up after working all day, coming up and saying, hey, I'm ready to give up my Wednesday night to serve and minister and pour into students. And because of them stepping up and saying, hey, I'm ready to help and serve others, it allowed HCSM to take place. Our series that we did this past semester was called Live That Life. And we walked through the Sermon on the Mount talking about what it looks like to live that life of a follower of Jesus and go through what Jesus's first big sermon was and talk about that. And then our last few weeks, we talked about the greatest commandment, loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And we had a lot of fun. You're going to see this picture up on the screen. One of the fun things we did a tug of war. So what you're going to see there on the screen on the left are two of our seniors. One is an all-state center for the Bent Panthers. The other is an all-state linebacker for the Bent Panthers. And they did a tug of war against all of our seventh grade girls. Guess who won? The girls. The girls beat them. Now there's like 12 of them. Yeah, they're still really strong and could beat me up if they wanted to. But we had a lot of fun with them this past year. And then we got to celebrate them May 8th. This senior night photo is going to be up on the screen. We had 22 of them show up there on that Wednesday night for that we got to honor them, that we got to recognize them, and just say, hey, thanks so much for being leaders. Just how our adults do on Wednesday nights, these students have homework, they have teams that are scheduling games on Wednesday nights, they have different functions and activities, and they make it a priority to come and worship on Wednesday nights. And so proud of them making that a priority. A few last things about students. Upcoming, we have Service Projects. Service Projects is HCSM's sole and only fundraiser for our summer missions. So if you have a honey-do list that you've been putting off, if you have some type of project that you would love the students to come out and help you with, we'd love to come out and take whatever donation you'd give for the students coming out and working, and that donation would go directly towards their summer missions. Our students will be going to Jonesboro, New Orleans, and Boston this summer. And then lastly, pool tour is going to be kicking off every summer. We get to do this. And so if you like to open up your pool and let some kids jump in it and try to see how many cannonballs they can do in an hour, we'd love for you to open up your pool for us. But today is Senior Sunday. We just want to say congratulations to our graduates. We're proud of you. We're proud for you. We've loved watching you grow and want you to know, as your church, we want to encourage you and invest in you to continue following Jesus, to continue pursuing Christ in whatever you do next. And church, these seniors, they've been invested in. They've been poured into. They've been taught the Word of God. They've been prayed over in times with their small groups. Their small group leaders have spent time explaining and teaching Scripture to them. They've been pointed to Jesus, and it is a church answering the call to say that says, look, we want to disciple students. We want to disciple the next generations. We want to pour into them. And it's we, the church, answering this call and taking that step of doing just that. Last weekend, we held a baby dedication. You got to see those sweet faces up on the screen. This morning, you got to see a whole lot of kiddos who are being invested in, who are being poured into. This morning, you're also going to see some of our seniors stand up in front of you. And next year, there's going to be another group of seniors. And the year after that, another group of seniors. And student after student, child after child, family after family, adult after adult, may they know what HC is about. May they know who HC is about. Amen, church? So, church, we don't have time to let our foot off the gas. We don't have time to hit pause. We don't have time to take a break or stop. Our time is too precious. Our time is too short. If you don't believe me, ask the mamas of these seniors, and they're crying as we speak about how fast the time goes, and all it takes is one generation. All it takes is one generation to slip up, to let up, and the consequences are people falling away from God. If you will turn with me to Judges chapter 2, I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Judges chapter 2. And so we see this take place many times in the Old Testament where God says, hey, follow me. The people are like, yeah, that sounds good. And then they make a decision and they don't. And they have to suffer the consequences. And they fall away from God. I invite you to read along with me. It'll be up on the screen as well. Judges chapter 2 verse 7 says, and the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. And the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. So Joshua's been leading them, and then Joshua, we see in this next verse, passes away at the age of 110. The generation after him follows the Lord, but look at what happens next in verse 10. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. And so this cycle of Israel, of rebelling against God, begins. They rebel, they suffer the consequences. God uses judges to try to rescue them and bring them back. And Israel sins again. And they repeat, and they repeat, and they repeat this over and over of Israel's rebellion. God trying to rescue them, saves them, but they still fall away. And so we have to look at why. Why did this all take place? And we read it in verse 10. It says, because the generation grew up and did not acknowledge. They did not recognize the Lord. And they did not remember him. And so this generation did not have firsthand experience of seeing all that God had did like the generation before them had. And so they got to witness and see some amazing things. So for them, they needed it to be passed on. They needed it to be taught. They needed it to be handed down to them. And I don't think the generation before them meant for this to happen, meant for them to forget, meant for them to not remember. But we see it take place. That this generation needed to live it out so the generation after them would pick up what they're putting down. Would see, this is why you make the decision that you're making. This is why you're living the life that you're making. This is why you're worshiping God. This is why you make that decision to do that. And then you add in the temptations that their neighbors are throwing at them and inviting them to, and it was disastrous. The result was not good. And if we're being honest, this is not very far from where we are at today. From the culture, from our society, just look around and see all that is taking place. People are turning away from God. They're rebelling. They're choosing sin over being obedient to God. And just like the Israelites, we are getting pulled to worship other things, with our time, with our money, with our resources, with our family, with the decisions we make. We're choosing to worship other things other than God. And we can look at Israel and the decisions that they made, and we're not that different. It can happen fast if we're not careful. So what can we do as the church, what can we do as a graduate, as a child, as a student, as an adult, as a parent, as a grandparent? Church, what can we do? I believe we can do this. Remember who our God is and tell others about him. Sounds really simple, okay? Sounds really simple, but we need to do this. Remember who our God is and tell others about him. Going to go through a few passages. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. What's been imparted to you does not stop with you. This gospel, it's not handed to you and then you say, okay, that's great, I'm just going to sit on it. That's not how it works. You keep it going. It does not end with you. Right after the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says to go, to baptize, do disciple, to go into all the nations. You know what it says in Matthew 29? They took a break and they didn't do it. There's not a Matthew 29, okay? No, that's not what happens. It says you go and you disciple and you equip and you teach and you go, go, go. There is no stopping. There is no quitting. You pass it on. It keeps going. The truths that have been taught to you keep going. Joel chapter 1 verse 3 says, tell your children about it in the years to come, and let your children tell their children. Pass the story down from generation to generation. We see this today in things outside of Scripture. What about children's lullaby songs, huh? Three Blind Mice. How many of y'all know that one? It originated back in 1609, okay? Y'all help me finish this one out. Originating in 1698, pat a cake, baker's man, bake me a cake as... There you go. You did great. Good job. Here we go. Rock-a-bye baby, 1765. Rock-a-bye baby in the... It's a really weird song if you look at it in 2024. I don't know what's going on there. But here we go. What about this one? 1978. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be... Yeah, if you're not singing that to your child. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. That's Waylon and Willie for you right there. Here we go. But they've been passed down. Like they originated and they've been passed down over the generations. We look and see that it can happen, that it's taking place. And so what are you handing down? What are you passing down? What are you teaching down to the next generations? And generations is plural there, because what you're teaching to the next generation gets taught to that next generation, gets taught to that next generation. What are you handing down to the next generation? Psalms 145 verse 4 says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Let them proclaim your power. We tell others about our God as we disciple, as we invest, as we pour into others, who we hope these individuals that we're pouring into, that we're investing into, we hope one day they will be able to lead. They will be able to be future leaders who will be lights in this community, living out the teachings and truths found in the Word of God, that they'll be able to live it out in their marriages, in their homes, in their parenting, at their job sites, in their community. And so we disciple and we invest in others to be Bible-believing individuals and to be a part of a Bible-believing and teaching church, whether it's here at HC or wherever God calls them to live at, that they are a part of that, that they are pursuing that. And while they're doing that, that they are investing in others. And we invest in others to raise up disciples, to raise up followers, to raise up individuals who one day will hold tight to this and live it out in their own lives, long after we are gone. That's why we do this. But we have to ask the question, okay, well, how can you do this? Okay, remember who our God is and tell others about him. But how can you do this? And so there's two categories, two groups of people I want to address. First thing, parents. Parents, plain and simple, tell them. Parents. Tell them. Parents, grandparents, not their biological, but can set them straight. Have you want to name that? Tell them. Tell them the truths of God's word. It's the parent's responsibility, first and foremost, to pass that on to your child, to pass the truths of God's word on to your children. They are something valuable, and God has entrusted them to you. Take care of that. Take care of them. Point them to Jesus. It's your job to raise them. Coming to church is great, but that's 1 hour out of 168. And what are you doing with the other 167 hours that you have with your child? What are you doing with them? And so we've read what can happen when a generation doesn't pass it on to the next one. And may we not fall into those same traps, fall into those same failures. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 19 says, "So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders." Could y'all imagine if we walked around doing that? But I bet the message would get across. Verse 19 says, "Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up." Verse 20 continues, says, "Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Take the time to talk to your children, whatever age they are, about how God's working in your life. Take the time to talk to your children about how God has worked in your life, about tough times, about hard times. Let them know how you came to know Christ. Let them know how God was working in your life. So that when they perhaps face the same struggle, same difficulty, same joy, same moment, whatever, they can remember the words of their parents that reminded them to point and turn to Christ in all things, to praise God in all things, to pray to God in all things, that they would see that example in you. And that simply comes by, like, how do I do that? Spend time with them. Talk to them. It says write it out. Write it everywhere. Let your children see you write it out. Let your children see you live it out, to write out the word of God. And some of y'all may find yourselves thinking, like, well, my kid's a lot older. You know, maybe I should have gotten started earlier. No. It's not too late. It's never too late. Your role as a parent does not stop. Whatever age you are, whatever age your child is, you can pass it on to the next generation. I'm married, I have 4 kids, and whatever my parents say to me in terms of following Jesus, I would hold on to that. They could call me tomorrow and say, "Grant, pursue Jesus. Like, life's going to be tough. There's going to be a lot of things thrown at you. But hey, keep pursuing Jesus." And I would hold on to that. It's not just for parents who have kids 18 and under. Your voice as a parent does not stop. It does not stop. Keep investing and pouring in to the next generations. Don't stop being that parent. Parents, tell them. The first group I'm talking to is parents. Second group I'm talking to, church. To do the same. To tell them and invest in them. Tell them and invest in them. Church, pour into each other and the generations that we have here, however possible, in whichever way, however way, invest in them. Invest in them and serve them. Encourage them. Teach them the truths of God's word. Every opportunity you have. And it's not just for student ministry. It's not just for kids ministry. It's for adults, young adults, HC groups, recovery, singles, marriages, whatever. Invest in them. Pour into them. Help them follow Jesus. Help them follow Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But encourage one another day after day." Help each other out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, it'll be up on the screen, says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." Sharing your own lives too. It's not just to tell them what they need to know. It's, hey, let me spend time with you. Let me share my resources. Let me share my knowledge. Let me share my energy that I have. And let me spend time with you. Invest in others as a church to do this together. By serving, by teaching, by speaking about God, by living it out, by praying, and by giving are ways that we can invest in the next generations to come. And I still remember the example, and I'm thankful to look out and see so many faces who are doing this, who are living this out, who are investing and pouring into the next generations. Just this past semester in HCSM, we had individuals serving that ranged in the ages of 19 all the way up to 76. 19 to 76, that's pretty awesome. That's a church that says, hey, we love students, we love kids, we want to make it happen. I could spend probably the whole day, the next 12 hours, mentioning names, but I can't, but I am going to mention a few that come to mind, and there's so many others that do as well, but Katie Cox, Tanya Shelnut have served in kids, along with Chris Richardson for like decades, have been pouring into and investing in kids. We have a great kitchen crew that serves on Wednesday nights. Jim Future was always there. He's always serving drinks. He's the guy that's always going to make sure, do you want root beer, do you want Coke, whatever you want, and take care of these kids. Our carpenter crew helps and serves each week. They don't really see the kids face-to-face, probably because they don't want to, and that's okay. But hey, I'm just kidding. Some of them do. But listen, there's some rooms that our students use that they work on, and they make look nice, and they make function well, that our kids use, and they get to serve and pour in to the next generations by doing things like that. Jane Ginther is a college student who has recently got involved more and more in serving with kids and taking that step of helping serve our kiddos. It doesn't have to be up front either. Many of you pray and invite you and ask you, continue to pray. Continue for our students, for our children. Because our society, our culture is throwing all sorts of things at them. Pray for their protection. Pray that they would remember God's word. That we as a church would be faithful to tell them, to remind them, to invest in them. To keep it going. And we have people who don't have kids who are investing in kids. College students wanting to serve. I had a young adult just this past week tell me, hey, I want to give back to the ministry that gave so much to me. Was her answer. And so we even see, I'm not sure if it's called this, generational investing. I'm not sure if that's an actual thing or not, but we have like a generation invest in this generation, and now that generation is investing in their kids, who's the next generation, and we have like different generations investing in other generations, and it's a beautiful thing, church, that we get to see, hey, I'm investing in you, and your mom and dad invested in me, and we get to keep that going. And it's an amazing thing when we, the church, step up and stand up and say, look, I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to invest in them. They're investing in me. And what we have is everybody is encouraging each other. Everybody is investing in each other. Everybody is saying, remember who our God is. Everybody's stepping up and standing up to do that. Some of you have served as small group leaders and teachers. There's always a need for that. We have people who are pouring into others, who are praying, who are investing. Speaking of investing, every senior here this morning is going to receive a new study Bible, and that is all made possible because of your generosity. We like to celebrate and talk about what all your generosity is doing. Your generosity allows things like kids ministry, things like student ministry, all sorts of things taking place here at Holland Chapel take place because of your investment, because of you faithfully giving. It helps these things take place. And that's why we celebrate generosity each and every week, because it makes life-changing ministry possible. And we just want to say thank you, church. Thank you for your giving. And you can have an impact on those around you, whether you're young, old, in between, single, dating, married, have kids, don't have kids, have a dog, whatever. You can have an impact. You can invest in the next generation. And students, you are included in this. You're included in this calling. We call you up to invest in others. Invest in other students. You have no idea how many students are always looking up to you. How many students are always watching you in your faith. How are you living it out in the classroom? Students, keep living it out. Shane Pruitt said this, this generation of students isn't the church of tomorrow, but it's the church of today. And so students, realize the calling you have to live out your faith each and every day. So church, tell them and invest in them. Here it is, Holland Chapel. Tell them and invest in them. With all we got, with all we have. Generations before us have done it. May we keep it going. Keep passing the torch and keep passing the torch. That in this community, there are people who are hurting. There's families here that are broken, students, children, adults who are struggling to find hope. And here's the thing, we have the answer. This is a place where we point people to Jesus and help them in their struggles, help them in their hurts and whatever they're going through. And there's so many people that just need it, that need to hear about it. But may we not stop investing in the next generations. It's always amazing to see how many of our students on Wednesday nights bring in guests, how many on Sunday morning come here for the first time. We have people who are longing for it, that are looking for it. May we not stop investing in everyone, in everyone. Don't let up, don't stop, don't let your foot off the gas. Church, we are here today because of what Jesus has done for us. A.W. Tozer said, the only sin Jesus ever had was ours. And the only righteousness we can ever have is His. And so if you're here today and you don't know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know this, that our sin separates us from God. It causes us to fall short. And the only way we can be made right with God is by us placing our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone because of what He has done for us. Turning from your sin and believing in Jesus, that He lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and was raised from the grave. And if you do that, you are a child of the one true King. And that life, that new life that God gives us, starts today and it lasts forever. And we'd love for you to talk to somebody about how you can have that relationship with Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin, so that He could pay the price for our sin. And that's our message to everybody. What we want people to know, what Holland Chapel is about as we invest, as we pour into them, as we tell them, is that Jesus saves. We want them to know about Jesus. There's going to be a passage up on the screen, Psalm 78, verse 4. And so this is what we're going to close with. This is what we're going to end with. And I invite you, ask you to read it along with me, that this would be a truth for us. This is something that we're saying, hey, we want this to take place. If you will read with me, Psalm 78, verse 4 says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. May that be true of us, church. Let me pray. Father, we love You, we praise You, we thank You, God. Thank You for Your goodness, thank You for Your faithfulness, thank You for how You love us, how You've displayed and shown that love to us, God. God, we just celebrate these seniors, we celebrate how You've worked in their life, we celebrate what You're doing, what You've done, God. But God, we also come to this time and realize, God, our job is not done. It's not time to slow down. If anything, it's time to speed up, to keep going, to continue investing in the next generations, to continue investing and pouring in to each other, to encourage each other, say the race is not done. God, and we pray in advance for You to do a great work, for You to save, for You to move, and to use Your church, however You seem fit, to reach our community, this state, our nation, the world, God. And we pray and ask all these things in Your Son's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.